Will you pray with me as we begin to look at God's Word together? Lord Jesus Christ, we gather in this place to meet with You. We ask that as we bow our hearts, as we open our spirits, that You would speak and move and do something inside of us that draws us into a greater appreciation of You, a greater understanding of You, a greater ability to respond in obedience to You. We thank You for all the ways You worked during that first Advent season and that first Christmas. We pray that as we look at some of these things today, that our appreciation would be increased and our ability, Lord, to cooperate with You and actually be blessings to others would be increased. We pray this all in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Well, this Advent season, we're looking at how God came near. And of course, the biggest way we see that is how God took on flesh and became a living human being. And we're going to celebrate that even in more detail as we get to actual Christmas morning and Christmas Eve. But He's doing other things as well. He was sending His messengers. He's sending angels to communicate to first Zechariah and Mary and to Joseph. He sent His angels on that first Christmas night to proclaim to the shepherds what was going on. But He also was at work inside of people, enabling them to respond in faith. One of the things I want to look at with you this morning are the responses of faith that were induced by God, that were created by God inside of people. And as we look at these, I'd hope you get this idea. If God acted inside of that person so that person could respond in faith, maybe God could do something like that in me. Maybe God could work in me so that I too could respond in faith in that way. And specifically, when we look at the life of Elizabeth, and we see how Elizabeth responded, and how Elizabeth erupted in praise, and how Elizabeth spoke well over Mary, I believe that God wants to do something like that in you. I believe that there are young girls who are to come and knock on your door, and you have the opportunity to respond with the prompting of the Spirit of Christ or something less. Or there might be a young guy, or it might be an old man or an old woman, or it might be a child, it might be somebody you don't know or someone that's really close to you, but they're going to come into your life during this Christmas season. And the opportunity is going to be presented to you to listen to the Spirit, to allow the work of the Spirit to be moving inside of you so that it bubbles out of you and blessing comes forth. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, we're told early in the chapter how the angel appeared to Zechariah and announced that John would be born, and how Zechariah doubted. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and explained to her how she was going to be the mother of the Christ child. And her response is more a response of faith. She does ask, well, how is this going to happen? But it wasn't a doubt. It was simply, can I have more understanding, please, of what you're doing? And then it says that after hearing this, Mary got up. In verse 39, chapter 1. At this time, Mary got ready, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted his wife Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." The first thing we notice there is that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, Zechariah, her husband, was told back in verse 15 that the baby inside of Elizabeth would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from before he was born. That's talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit of God while he was in the womb. A little side note there, that talks about the sanctity of life, doesn't it? That a child in the womb could be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That tells us that that is a precious creation of God. John the Baptist was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. And now here, when Mary walks up to Elizabeth's door, the baby inside of Elizabeth leapt with joy. 6 months along she was. That baby was between a pound and a half. Can you picture how small that little John the Baptist was? And with the Spirit inside of him, he's leaping inside of her womb. I can remember Lisa talking about when babies leapt inside of her womb and what that made her want to do. She wanted to run and find a bathroom. But Elizabeth, when that happened inside of her, she exclaimed also with joy, with the same Holy Spirit now working inside of her, and praise came out of her mouth. When the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you, praise should come out of your mouth. When the Holy Spirit is in residence in you, working inside of you, He's about producing in you God-like things, God-like characteristics, and God-like proclamations. I believe every one of you has a mouth that can praise God, that can adore God, that can announce the goodness of God. Now, some of you have beautiful voices like the ladies that were up here singing and playing. Some of us sing better in the shower. Some of us don't want to sing at all. But there are ways for us to allow God to use the mouth He's given us to proclaim His greatness. And I think an opportunity is going to be presented to you soon. So allow that to cogitate in the back of your mind. Allow that to sink in and allow it to start oiling up those hinges and loosening that tongue. And start practicing praising God. We're going to have two songs yet later in the service, and then during the kids' program there's going to be music, and we encourage you to sing praises, but also to be people who speak praises. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed. The word that's used there is the word for shouting. She shouted. She was excited. She was ecstatic. She was in the presence of Christ, who was in utero, in Mary's womb. And she could not hold the praise back. Will you do that too? Will you let the praise come forth? The next thing we notice is what she said in her praises. She said, first of all, addressing Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. See, the praise there is twofold, isn't it? It's praising God, God the Son, who is in Mary's womb, praising the Christ child, but it's also a blessing to Mary. Elizabeth blessed Mary. She chose to speak well of her. The word that's used there in the original language is the word which we get the word eulogy from. A eulogy is oftentimes thought of as what we do during a funeral, where we choose to speak good words about somebody. Sometimes that's easier than others, but we choose to say the good things. We too have the choice to eulogize one another, to speak blessing over, to speak well of, to speak good of someone that's near us or someone that we're talking about. I believe that as you cooperate with the Holy Spirit to speak blessing over another person, that you are actually putting yourself in a blessable position. As you cooperate with what God wants to do in that person's life, you are being God's agent. You are doing God's work. You are being a blesser just as God is a blesser. Can you remember what the Father, God Almighty, promised to Abraham. He's called the father of faith. And he was told by God showing up in this confrontation with him that he would be blessed to be a blessing. And that's true of every believer since. Blessed to be a blessing. Or you might think of it as blessed to be a blesser. You can bless the people around you. You can speak well of the people around you. You can encourage the people around you. Think of Mary, a teenager, maybe a young teenager, given this amazing announcement that she was the one chosen by God to bear the Christ child. Think of the way she would have to be processing that information, wondering what people in her community would think about her. Interestingly, she gets up when she hears that Elizabeth, her relative, is also with child, and she travels, probably a four-day journey, probably walking most of it, possibly using a donkey, but probably not, probably walking 4 days, and she shows up at Elizabeth's house. Did she wonder how she'd be received? Did she wonder how she was going to tell Elizabeth, hey, I'm pregnant. I know you never got a wedding invitation. I know it might not look like things are in the proper timing. I know you might have doubts. I know you might think poorly of some young whippersnapper teenage girl showing up. But none of that happened. No words of criticism came out of Elizabeth's mouth. No words of discouragement. What instead came was blessing. Blessing. Elizabeth blessed Mary. And can you imagine the relief to Mary that instead of having to explain to Elizabeth what's going on, Elizabeth knows. Somehow the Holy Spirit had revealed his plan to Elizabeth so that Elizabeth started speaking about it. Elizabeth said that blessed is the child in your womb. Divine revelation was given to Elizabeth, and Mary was encouraged by it. I think God wants to give you divine revelation so that you can encourage someone. Who's it going to be? Get those eyes open and be looking. Be listening. Be paying attention. Someone is coming to stand in front of you. How are you going to respond? Would you respond like Elizabeth and speak blessing? I have a nephew who is a great young guy. He's a real woodsman, man of the who loves to work with his hands, building things, loves to hunt and fish. God's blessed him with a wonderful wife and 4 children under age 5. His wife wrote this on Facebook a couple days ago. She says, "My sweet husband has just said the thing I needed most to hear today. He came home early to a complete mess. You would have thought the house was broken into and ransacked. 3 kids in their underwear, the other 2 of us in pajamas. And he says, honey, everything looks great around here." And she laughed and said, "Yeah, right." He said, no, I'm serious. It's great to see Haley playing with her and taking care of her baby brother on the floor. It's great to see Kobe doing his schoolwork on the couch. It's great to see Riley playing in the blanket fort that you made for him and the other kids." He didn't say anything about the mess. It almost brought tears to my eyes. He's right. It's moments of togetherness that matter, that make sweet memories. Not that my house is spotless or that we look like we have it all together all the time. There is sweetness in the simplicity of just being together, just being us. Thank you, honey. I love you. He walked into a mess and said, "Everything looks great." Because his values were in the right place. How's that happen? It's not in the natural. That's in the supernatural. And God wants to give you those kind of eyes to look at a mess and to see the good that God is doing and to be able to speak to it. To be able to speak words that uplift and encourage and refocus and reprioritize. There's going to be messes all around you that you can walk into and speak God's word to. There's going to be people that need to hear God's word through you. Mary needed Elizabeth to speak blessing. Who is it in your life that needs to hear blessing through your lips? And maybe they live far away. Maybe the only way they're going to hear the blessing is if you take the time to pick up the phone. Or try this. Write a note. This is a time when people send Christmas cards. Usually my wife does that. In fact, I saw something my daughter posted. It was another Facebook thing. I really need to stop looking at Facebook, but I get lots of sermon material. But my daughter forwarded this, and she says, "Don't you just love it when a Christmas gift says from Mom and Dad, and you know that your dad has no idea what's inside the box?" So I responded. I said, "Well, I just love to be surprised at Christmas time by the gifts I receive and give." But sometimes only the moms are the ones writing on the cards or saying the Christmas greetings. What if Dad wrote a personalized note to every kid this Christmas season? What if Dad said something from his heart to speak a blessing? Here's three tips how to do that. Use the Word of God as the foundation of it. Use God's word as the foundation of your blessing you're going to speak to your loved one or friend. There's a verse of Scripture that God can bring to your mind that that person needs to hear. So pray. Say, "God, how do I speak your words of blessing to my son, to my daughter, to my brother, whoever the person might be that you're thinking about?" Say, "Lord, what do you want to say to this person?" And ask God, what Bible verse could be the foundation of this? And then maybe you could even write that verse down and say, "I was thinking about you and praying for you, and this verse came to mind." So proclaim God's word. Then personalize it. And say something like, "You know, when I saw this verse or thought of this verse about how you are the beloved of the Lord, it made me think about how that's what you are. You are loved by the Lord." And it might be exactly what that person needs to hear. So you proclaim God's word, you personalize God's word, then you can apply it. You can have another sentence maybe that says, "You know, I just really encourage you to let this sink in and live out this day knowing that you are loved of the Lord." Or whatever the verse is that God brings to your mind. See, our God spoke to Elizabeth, revealed to her that her relative Mary was standing in front of her with the Christ child inside of her. That wasn't human knowledge. That was divine revelation. And God wants to do something inside of you so you can take His truth and give it to somebody. It might be the best gift you give this Christmas. There was one year early in my ministry where at the annual meeting, I believe it was, I gave everybody a little cutout medal with ribbons hanging from it. It was just paper. But on it, I wrote a little something. You get this medal for ways you've greeted people and shook their hand as you hand them a bulletin. Or you get this medal because you've shoveled the sidewalk all winter long. But for every person in this large church I had of 30 people, I wrote one of those and gave it to them. What amazed me was how many homes I went and visited and saw that little paper trinket on their bulletin board or by their phone or by the kitchen sink. Now, sure, some of them dug them out of a drawer and stuck them up there when they heard I was coming. But some of them kept them up for a long time because those simple words had impact. And I believe that your simple words can change someone's life this Christmas season. Will you be like Elizabeth and speak blessing? This section ends with her also using the word in English, blessing, but it's a different word. In verse 45, Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." That's a different Greek word. The first one was more about how a person has people thinking well of them. This is a word that talks about God's favor resting on a person. See, Mary heard the news that she'd be bearing a child, and she believed. Elizabeth's husband had his doubts when he heard a similar message about them becoming parents in their old age. And so the contrast here is with Mary's belief and Zechariah's disbelief and Elizabeth speaking to it. But as a message for you and for me, the secret to walking out the favor of God and satisfaction in God is believing what God has said. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Mary heard a promise, believed a promise, and she received blessing, favor with God, satisfaction, contentment in God because of believing. And you, if you want those characteristics in your life, the thing to do is to believe God's promises. The things God said to you, take at face value. Hang on to them. Hold them tight. Trust that they're true. Walk out a life of confidence in God's promises. He said, "I'd never leave you, I'd never forsake you." He said, "I'd never have anyone pulled from my hand that I'm hanging on to." He said, "I came to seek and to save the lost." He said he came to forgive sins, to buy people out of the devil's grasp. And he's here for you. He's here for each and every one of us to rescue us. He said that's his purpose. We can believe what he said. And in believing what he said, there is blessing, favor with God, satisfaction in God. And in the middle of that verse, that section, you see the secret to Elizabeth's being in that position. In verse 43, she says, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." There's great humility there. Why am I so favored? Why did you choose me, Mary? Why did God choose me? Why would the Christ child be in front of me now as you, Mary, have come to my house? Why me? She's an older lady, beyond the age of childbearing. She's been blessed with an amazing blessing of now having a child. She's, in that culture, the one that should feel like she's a blessing to this young whippersnapper girl. But instead, her perspective is switched because she sees what God is doing. She recognizes that God is here. God is with her. And God is in this encounter with her as Mary stands before her. So there's humility there. Humbleness. But notice what she says. "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She called the Christ child my Lord. Elizabeth has the distinction of being the first human being to call Jesus Christ my Lord. She didn't say the Lord. She didn't make it generic. The Messiah, the Master. She said, "My Lord." And there is a big difference between the Lord and my Lord. There's lots of people that'll be in churches this Advent season and Christmas season. And for many of them, the Christ child is the Lord and not my Lord. God wants each and every person to move from just a head knowledge of who He is to a personal relationship with my Lord. He's wanting each individual not just to see the miracle of God taking on flesh for the world, joy to the world. He wants each individual to enter into a saving knowledge and a personal reception of the work of God for them. My Lord. Can you say my Lord, or can you only say the Lord? When you talk about what Christ has done, is it a the thing, out there thing, fact thing, history thing, or is it an internal, personal, a relational thing where it's my Jesus, my Lord, who has saved me from my sins, who has washed me clean, who has paid the debt for my sins, who is now my rescuer, my redeemer, my loved and promised precious Savior, the one that I give my life to, give all I am to, the one I put all my faith in. It's got to be those pronouns. Or it's just historical fact. I invite you this morning, I invite you right now, to celebrate that God wants a personal relationship, that He wants to be my Lord and your Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, You came near at Christmas time. You left the throne room of heaven, and You came down and You took on flesh. You became incarnate inside of a womb of a teenage girl and went through all that that entails, growing to be a man that You might give Your life as a sin offering, that You might die in our place. At Christmas, we celebrate the cross as well as the cradle. We celebrate that You came near to die for us and then bring us into a personal relationship. We ask that, Lord, You would move so that these historical facts about You being the Lord become the personal reality of You being our Lord. We put our faith in You this morning. We celebrate Your work for each and every one of us. We proclaim, You are my Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.